Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, and I'll be reading chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. Come, all who are thirsty, come, fetch water. Come, you who have no food, buy corn and eat. Come and buy, not for money, not for a price. Why spend money and get what is not bread? Why give the price of your labor and go unsatisfied? Only listen to me, and you will have good food to eat, and you will enjoy the fat of the land. Come to me and listen to my words. Hear me, and you shall have life. I will make a covenant with you, this time forever, to love you faithfully as I loved David. I made him a witness to all races, a prince and instructor of peoples. And you, in turn, shall summon nations you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. And our New Testament lesson is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day in the evening, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." So they left the crowd and took him with them in the boat where he had been sitting. And there were other boats accompanying him. A heavy squall came on, and the waves broke over the boat until it was all but swamped. Now he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They roused him and said, "Master, we're sinking. Do you not care?" He awoke, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." The wind dropped, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you such cowards? Have you no faith even now?" They were awestruck and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Let us pray. Gracious God, we've heard your word as now we think about its meaning and think about the things you are calling us today. May we hear your voice and your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So you may have noticed, if you look at the picture on the bulletin, that it's called there, it says, "An Epistle to St. Stephen's." If everyone may not be aware or familiar with the word epistle, it's not a word we use very often anymore, but it comes from the Greek epistole, meaning to send news. And it's the term we tend to use for the letters in the New Testament, in particular, the letters from Paul to the Romans and the Corinthians and the Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Thessalonians, all of those letters there are known collectively as Paul's epistles. And it was his way of sending information, sharing news, sharing teaching when he couldn't be with them in person. And so since I was away for 10 weeks this summer, I decided to keep a journal and keep some notes and then to come back and try to share with you some of the things I learned while I was away. So there's going to be three messages that I'm kind of calling my epistle to St. Stephen's. And they're not going to be all in a row because of the way the weeks are working out. So I'll start today. Next week, I have my cousin's wedding, and so I won't be here. And thankfully, a recently retired minister, Reverend George Zimmerman, will be here. He has a really close connection with a group called the Mully Children's Family in Kenya. And he's going to be talking about that. He's going to bring music and videos to share with you the choir that's there, that's part of that organization. So it's going to be a wonderful week. When I'm back, I'll do another. And then it'll be Thanksgiving. We'll be talking about giving thanks, giving back, that theme. And then the final one will come after. So kind of get it sprinkled through the fall. I thought I would do it chronologically. So we're starting with some of the things that I learned at Gracefield. So I'm going to go through the scripture that I picked on these weeks less than I normally would, because I want to share with you some of the highlights and the things that I learned from the people who I was with and the things that God was speaking to me while I was away. Although the scripture still relates, of course. So since Gracefield summer was about fruits of the Spirit, as we talked about with the kids, I thought I would pick just a little tidbit from each of those fruit to share with you. And so the first fruit is love. And that passage from Isaiah is actually one of the things that comes to mind out of the Old Testament when I think about the love of God. This was the invitation at the very beginning that Sharon read. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And later in the passage, he says, it is my love I gave to David that I give to you that is the basis for all of this. This coming and receiving is this invitation to Israel. It's the camps, Gracefield Camps invitation to campers. I love our campership program, right? We sponsored partially 4 different campers to camp this summer. Presbytery sponsored, I think, 9 kids going to camp. Gracefield had their own. Money should not stand in the way from having this camping opportunity and from people experiencing the love of God and the beauty of creation that exists up at Gracefield. And they don't. And here's the other thing. This is like the open secret about working at Gracefield. You don't go for the money. If anybody has ever worked at a camp, you don't go to Gracefield because you're wanting to make a lot of money. Every so often, one of the staff members will try to calculate their hourly rate based on the fact that they're with the kids 24 hours for like 6 days. It's not a good thing to do. It's not helpful. They're not there because they want to make money, right? They're there because they love the camp. Every single staff that I meet there, they love the camp, even if they didn't when they first started coming up. And that's the reason they come back, and they love what they get to do. I mean, you can talk to Isabel and find out why she comes back instead of working in the hospital during her summers. But there's a love there that is the foundation. And what's really cool about this passage in Isaiah is there's a promise, right? Your soul will delight in the richest of fare. When people come, the thing that they get, I think, is so much richer than what you can get working almost anywhere else. After love comes joy, and Gracefield has this in spades. We're going to have a little bit of fun at the end of this message with our next song. There'll be some actions, there'll be some difficulty getting some words out, and it's all good fun. I have been asked by campers at the end of chapel, why isn't church this fun back home? There's certain joy and fun that just comes with being in that place. Even chaplains like me end up doing things that I wouldn't do otherwise, like picking out a pet elephant for my imaginary camp family during training week. It was very cute. It was made of clay. And doing training sessions while floating in the lake, playing soccer baseball in a muddy field, and doing all sorts of other things for the joy of being there and being outside. Past joy comes peace. And peace was a special one for me because what Mark decided to do over the summer was every chapel service on Sundays was based on a fruit of the Spirit. And the week that peace came up was the week that the leaders in training, the LITs, were going to be leading the service. And while I was at camp, I was working a lot with the LITs. And so I got to help them plan that worship service. And it was fun and it was wonderful. Malcolm and another one of the LITs gave the message. And they were talking about peace. And they talked about using the passage we read from Mark. They ended up using a different one from Philippians. But they have a similar message, this understanding about where peace comes from. And Malcolm shared about his favorite place at Gracefield, which is the Morning Watch Rock. And it's a wonderful place to just sit and look out over the lake and to just wake up slowly before you get into the busyness of the day. And later on, they were talking about how, although we find peace in these places, the places aren't really the source of the peace. The source of the peace is actually God. Just like when the disciples were on the boat, the reason things got peaceful, right? The ocean calmed, right? The storm went away. But the source of that was Jesus. It was Jesus standing up and rebuking the waves and telling it all to calm down that resulted in that calm. Now, the disciples inside didn't get calm. They actually got more scared because they didn't really understand who Jesus was. And this was a bit of a wake-up call for them. But Jesus offered peace, right? Jesus says, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give this peace to you." And so there's a peace that comes that is a gift, right? Even though the disciples don't trust Jesus, they think they accuse him of not caring whether they live or die, Jesus still calms the storm. He offers peace freely without price. After peace, we get patience. You have to have patience in spades to work with campers. Any of you who are parents, you may remember throwing a birthday party for a young child, you know, 8, 9, 10. You have a whole bunch of kids running around. They're there for 2 hours. It's chaos, and you have fun, and then you send them home, and you're so grateful when their parents come and pick them up. Now imagine doing that for 6 days before their parents come and pick them up or the bus comes. This is what our counselors are dealing with. As I said, there's a reason why counselors are 20-somethings and not 40-somethings. They need a lot of energy and a lot of patience. And it was my joy to be able to be there and walk alongside them and every so often give them a little break or give them somebody just to listen, right? Because you're not going to like every kid that comes to camp. You can love every kid that comes to camp, but that doesn't mean you're going to like them all, right? And yet, they have this ability to show love to each of them. And it is amazing. With patience comes kindness. And one of the things they do for staff, I don't know, you can tell me, is this a new thing or do they always do the encouragement books? Okay, so every year they do these little things called encouragement books for staff. And everyone has the staff's camp name on it, and then everyone else has an opportunity to write little messages inside them. I didn't know this was a thing, and even though I wasn't staff, they made me a book, and Isabel gave it to me last week, and it is such a gift, and the kindness in taking some time just to write those few notes. Sometimes it was a sentence. One staffer wrote 4 pages, because she has trouble keeping things down to small, which is fine. That's why the books are big. But taking that time, and I have this gift now where when I'm discouraged, when I'm frustrated, when I'm not sure if what I'm doing is right or enough, I have this little book that I can go back to and remember, just remember, sometimes you don't always appreciate the effect you're having until later. It's a huge kindness for them to do and a gift for me. This is a big, long list. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. And I know I'm going fast, but that takes us to gentleness. And gentleness is an interesting one. Because sometimes at some camps, there's this pressure, right? You've got kids, sometimes you've got them for 6 days, 5 days, and maybe this is the only opportunity for them to hear about Jesus, to learn about God. And so for some, there might be this pressure, right, to try and make sure kids make a commitment over that period. And that hasn't been the philosophy at Gracefield. Gracefield welcomes people first, welcomes them where they are, and gives them a safe and open place to ask questions, to express their doubts or their lack of belief, and they are loved anyway. And they hear from the staff, from the chaplains, from the people who are there, maybe other campers, for them what their faith is like. But there isn't a high, there's a gentleness to that. And I've seen how that works. Last year, I remember talking to someone who said, you know, I'm not really sure I believe in God, but I like this place. It's really nice, so I'm here to work. Came back this year and said, I believe there's a God now. I'm not sure exactly how to worship that God or how that works, but I do believe there's a God. Wonderful. Deep, deep thinker. And needs time. And this is the thing. Sometimes God works on people in hours or days, and sometimes God works on people over years before they come to faith. And there's a space at Gracefield for people to be able to do that. And I think it's beautiful. And people have met Jesus because of it, because they haven't felt pressured. Gentleness takes us into faithfulness. And this is where the title of my sermon comes from, so I have to ask you a question. Why would Jesus make a good pirate? Because when he shouted for death or glory, he could do both. No? It's okay. It's a bit of a deep theology joke. And it was told to me by one of the LITs, one of the leaders in training, which just delighted me. They had made it up themselves and was very proud of it. And I got their permission in order to share it. And what was funny was they told this joke, and then we started a little conversation. Well, in what other ways would Jesus make a good pirate? Jesus likes to challenge the status quo. He challenges the rulers of the time, maybe in a different way than pirates. But also, he can fish. He can walk on water. Both of those feel like they would be really important skills if you were a pirate and spending all of your time on a boat. A little bit silly. But one of the things that comes from that is faithfulness doesn't equal being uptight. It doesn't mean we have to be serious and intense all of the time. We can have fun. We can laugh. We can even laugh at ourselves. We can be silly. And we can still have a deep faith and an opportunity to share it with others. Faithfulness leads to goodness. Now, Gracefield isn't perfect. No place is. It has its challenges with staff, with campers, with volunteers. There are good days and bad days. There are days where there will be staff who say, I'm never coming back. And days where they say, I don't want to go home. It's all part of the cycle of living in a small space together as a community. But there is a sense of a common purpose and a simple purpose when you're at camp. Gracefield's mission is to invite all people to experience the loving presence of the living God in Christ, in creation, and in Christian community. And there's a certain certainty about how we do that. Right? Especially for camp staff that are focused on children's programming. And of course, there are bigger things that happen at camp. There are families who rent spaces. There are people who come up every weekend. It's like their cottage. There are retreats that happen. All sorts of other things happen. But my time was specifically around the children's programming. And at children's camp, there's a pretty clear understanding of what our role is. Right? It's to welcome kids, to make them comfortable, to have fun, to teach them about God, and to send them home better or feeling better than when they arrived, whatever that looks like. And there are kids who come to camp whose home situation is not good, whose home situation is full of strife and battle and really difficult situations. And camp is the only place they get to escape from that, where they get to just be kids. And often what happens is at the beginning of the week, they act out because they don't know any other way to be, any other way to get attention. And over the course of the week, they learn that they don't have to behave that way. And they get to sometimes be leaders within their group, or to learn a new skill, or to just be kids without having to care for younger siblings or worry about parents that are not very responsible. There's a goodness and a foundation to what it means to go to camp. And that takes us into self-control, which is the most maybe understandable of the virtues, but also sometimes the hardest to do. I don't know about you. So the very practical thing for self-control at Gracefield is the food is really good. You heard that from the kids. They all love the food. And there is a lot of it. And here's the thing. Kids and young adults, their metabolism works differently than mine. They can eat all of that food. The staff even have their own stash of junk food to add on top of that, chips and chocolates and candies and all these things. And they love to share. So I had to be careful not to gain 20 pounds while I was at Gracefield for 4 weeks. But more important than that, one of my goals for the summer was to get myself back into better spiritual practices. I'd gotten a little bit lazy, a little bit distracted from the daily discipline of reading scripture and praying and spending time, and I wanted to get back into that. And what I found was when the days are easy, when the schedule is fairly open, it's really easy to do that. When you have nothing you're responsible for, right? I didn't have to cook meals. For most of the time, my family wasn't there. I could just be me. It's easy to take half an hour or 45 minutes and spend time reading scripture and praying and doing all those things. But it's even easier to stop again when things get busy. And so self-control was a really important discipline for me over that time to do daily journaling and spending that time so that I could develop the habits I need so that coming back, well, I right now have lots of energy and feel really good for having 10 weeks away, I need to keep that. And one of the ways I keep that is by taking time with God in Scripture. So those are 9 gifts, 9 fruit of the Spirit that come from God, and those are little things that I learned at camp. And the week I was chaplain, my closing message, I used a metaphor about flowers. And I said, if you take a bouquet of cut flowers, they're beautiful, and we love them, and they're lush, but no matter how well you take care of them, in a matter of days, they will die. They won't be available anymore because they've been cut off. They've been cut off from the root, from the source. Whereas a potted plant, if you take proper care of it, or a plant that's out in your garden in the ground, even if it dies back, it will come back because those roots are down in the good soil and they get what they need in order to thrive. People aren't really that different. We need a source. We need a root. The fruit of the Spirit are not things we work on, really, they're not things we work on to get better at, right? They're things that God gives us. They're things that he grants us through being connected to the roots, right? Jesus talks about being the vine and us being the branches. We need that connection. And one of the things I learned more than anything else is for many people, Gracefield is that root. Gracefield is that connection to God, that no matter what they do through the rest of the year, they come back because it's where they feel most connected. And I felt honored that I got to be a small part of that this summer. So my encouragement for you, if you don't know Gracefield, get a chance to get up and see it if you can. It's a beautiful place. But more than that, make sure you know where your root is. Make sure you know what it is that keeps you connected to God and to Christian community, and hold on to it. Because God will bless you with fruit when you do. Let us pray. God, I thank you for Gracefield and for other places and people who help others be rooted to you. Help us, God, too, to be rooted, that when we feel like we're caught in the breeze, that you hold on to us. May we keep those practices and those places and people close to us so that we might never lose connection to you, our ultimate source of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.